The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Everywhere you look, everywhere, it's so hot. I mean, sorry.
Is it bad that I can't not hear the Full House theme with imagining Ron Swanson's face on every character that somebody made on the internet?
Oh, my God, dude, that deepfake was the best. That deepfake was the best.
Hey, how's that for an intro? It's a Get Geekish Podcast. Right. Welcome back again. Joined by Derek over there, I'm Bino. And we decided we are going to finish up our talk on sitcoms. If you listened last week, we talked about sitcoms of the 50s. 60s and 70s.
Yep.
And we went through just about everyone we could find and think of. And we figured we'd go through now the 1980s and maybe up to now, depending how far we get in it. Because there's a lot
90s.
More. There's a lot more sitcoms, but there's also a lot more garbage ones that I don't really want to talk about.
80s, 90s, and maybe today?
Sounds like a horrible radio station.
That's what
tag.
I was just going to say.
The 80s, like the 90s, and maybe some new stuff.
I mean, never mind. All right. So one thing that just that, you know, popping out automatically to me from the 80s and the 90s is the sitcoms that happened there. There, the good ones had amazing theme songs.
Oh, yeah. Theme songs for the sitcoms this time. I mean, the early ones we talked about last week, good theme songs, but I think they took it up a whole notch because the production value went into, oh, no, we're going to have musicians make songs for these shows, not just little ditties we're going to write like commercial jingles. We're going to have songs written for them.
We need to have something that'll catch people's ears. I mean, like, anyway, let's just dive into the 80s and we'll go, they'll pop in.
Yeah, they will. Okay, ER is a big one.
ER started in the 80s?
Yeah.
And that's a sitcom?
Technically.
The one with George Clooney?
Yeah.
I figured that was like more of a drama, not a situational comedy.
Well, wait, hold on here. it wasn't the ER drama show we were thinking of. But it was a sitcom that aired in 84 and 85. And two of the people actually went on to be in the other ER show that starred George Clooney later. So,
dude, you threw me way off there for a minute. I was like, whoa.
I did my bad research last week, and I've already stepped in a landmine this week. I apologize.
Well, that's not your fault. That's the 80s for having a stupid title for a sitcom.
That's true. What's Happening was a big one.
Okay.
Another one that I didn't get into much, but I did like some of the characters on What's Happening. My Two Dads, super awkward for the time that it came out.
Right.
But it was an entertaining show. I always wanted that big velour, like, taxi cab thing they had in the living room of the show. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, yes.
Yeah, in one of the couches in the house was like this big velvety looking front of a taxi cab or something like that. These are the things I remember. Tracy Ullman show, didn't like the show, but it did give us the breakthrough of The Simpsons, the original short that showed on that, which I'll give it credit for that.
That's true.
Chips was a big one in the 80s. If you like short shorts, it was definitely a thing for you.
Chips with Eric Estrada.
Give Me a Break, Police Squad, which gave us The Naked Gun.
Okay, yeah, I'll appreciate that.
Silver Spoons, Punky Brewster, which we mentioned is getting a reboot with the actual original actress who played Punky Brewster this year.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Mama's Family, which everybody thought was adorable. I hated Mama. Oh, look, she's an adorable old lady. I wanted to throw Mama from the train.
I don't think I watched Mama's Family.
It was a spinoff of the Carol Burnett show.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not my jam. The A-Team, that one was my jam.
Again, is that a sitcom?
Well, technically, I mean, it's close enough.
Mr. T, he pities the fool, so.
No, Family Matters, that counts as your sitcom book.
Yeah.
Good old Jaleel White.
Yeah. Love that guy. Did I do that? Dude, when I was younger, I used to do a Dynamite Urkel impersonation, so.
You can't do it now?
No, I can't. Got any ching? Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, there was Bosom Buddies with Tom Hanks.
Oh, my God, yeah, I forgot. Mm-hmm. Like one of his earlier things before he, like, movie starred.
One of the other theme songs that rings true to this day, Charles in Charge.
Charles in Charge. Yeah.
Yeah. Scott Baio, I mean, that was, he was a heartthrob for a lot of people.
We all know that he wasn't the one in charge, so.
No, Charles in Charge. Mr. Belvedere. I feel like Mr. Bevo was just the show that came after Charles in Charge.
Yeah.
The Jeffersons.
Okay. Yep.
No theme song there?
No. You know what? I can't take all the theme songs, okay? I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm saving them because I'm going to go wild in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I'm trying to hold back.
Head of the Class, Benson, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I almost got you.
Yeah, apparently so.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised on a playground is where I spend most of my day. You know,
that's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, everybody knows that song. I love, and that, we were hosting something. Was it Zombie Crawl? I don't even remember that. Somebody put on that song, and everybody just like went berserk. I don't know if it was that or the Bud Light thing. I don't remember.
A little both. Yeah. Saved by the Bell also got its start in the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting to look at the cast to say, but there's another one that's getting a reboot this year for it.
It already has been rebooted, right?
It's on, I think, Peacock or something like that now. And then there was the news of Dustin Diamond passing away just a few months ago. Perfect Strangers. We were talking about before the podcast started. Good old Balky.
Dude, Perfect Strangers, to me, for one, like, I remember, so when I was younger, I had like a lot of asthma problems. So I remember being in the hospital, and even when I broke my leg in my car accident, for some reason that was always on TV. So, you know, when I can't sleep and I'm in pain at 3 a.m, Perfect Strangers was there to comfort me. And I love that show. Balky is great. Cousin, not so much. He's kind of a jerk that tries to take advantage of Balky, but
that's true. And I was also telling Derek before this too, that the theme song is another one of those ones that's just like a heartthrob, fist bumping, like, good feeling one. But there's a band called I Fight Dragons. You probably recognize them. They do the theme song for the Goldbergs. And for one of their Kickstarters, they actually have a cover they made of the Perfect Strangers theme song. And it is absolute magic. So go find it.
It's a banger, as the kids would say.
Yeah, it's a banger. It's a banger.
I don't know why you put the accent on. That's weird. Anyway.
Yeah. Dukes of Hazzard came out.
Okay. That came out in the 80s? For some reason, I thought that was the 70s. Damn. Yeah.
Same thing, Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
Coach.
Laverne and Shirley was fun.
Yeah.
Coach, my parents watched that, and I watched it with them. And the only thing that I can say out of that is I know who does Patrick Starr's voice in SpongeBob because of Coach.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dobber was awesome. All right.
Yeah.
You have to handle that. Like, the whole show is about Coach being kind of a jerk to everybody, but Dobber was just,
I was going to say, maybe I just didn't like Craig T. Nelson. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, because, like, you know, he was kind of a jerk in Poltergeist as well. So, because I remember watching that, I'm like, that's Coach.
Well, there was Murphy Brown.
Dude, and that's another show. Like, was Murphy Brown on before or after Coach?
It was on close because I remember watching them both.
Yeah. They're
both on the air at the same time.
All about that one.
Moonlighting, Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd.
Bruce Willis.
We had Alf, the infamous Alf. Everyone watched Alf. Everyone was afraid for their cat because of Alf.
Yeah.
Designing Women, not my cup of tea.
Did not watch that one.
Full House, that one, watched nonstop. Which it still blows my mind. Like, this sounds stupid because I've seen how many Marvel movies, and we're about two episodes into WandaVision before I put two and two together that Elizabeth Olsen is the Olsen twins' sister.
Dude, no. Oh, man, I thought you knew that.
Well, I had, people probably even told me, but I really didn't put it together until I'm like, why does she look so familiar? Looked up, Olsen. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
And I felt so dumb. WKRP in Cincinnati.
That one was okay.
The radio person in me liked that one, but
yeah. That's kind of like when we talk about news radio, when it'll come up. I watch that just because.
Yeah. There was Taxi and Tony Danza and Christopher Lloyd, but that was a weird show, I think.
Dude, Taxi and Wings are just weird shows together. I mean, I don't think what Wings came out in 90s, but...
Tony Danza again, Who's the Boss? Newhart.
Not him.
Three's Company, which you talked about last time, but it continued well into the 80s. Mm-hmm. Growing Pains, Alan Thicke.
Yep, watched a lot of Growing Pains, watched a lot of Family Ties.
Mm-hmm. We got some Happy Days, some Wonder Years with Fred Savage.
All right, Winnie Cooper, first crush.
I was not into Winnie for some reason.
Dude, oh my God, Winnie Cooper, first crush.
Hmm. MASH, which we talked about before, too, started earlier, but it went through the 80s. Married with Children, that was one of my all-time favorites, I have to admit. Which is interesting because it gets a lot of flack now for being so irreverent and sexist and all these kind of things about it. But even as a kid watching that show,
it was part of the allure
that it was over the top, that it was making fun of it. It wasn't like... The No Ma'am group was hilarious. Not because they were being No Ma'am, because this is so ridiculous. They're making fun of people that think like this, but people latched onto it. So I feel like it gets a worse rap than it deserves. I mean, there are certain parts of it that would not fly on TV stations nowadays.
No.
But still.
No.
The Cosby Show.
Yeah. We're not touching that one.
Roseanne.
Yep.
Night Court.
Dude, Night Court, what was the bailiff's name?
Bull.
Yeah, Bull, dude. He was the best part of that show,
hands down. Yeah, that was... I don't know why I even... Like, I look at the concept of Night Court, I watch the stories, the episodes, like, why did I like the show, especially as an eight-year-old kid? That show made me a fan of Mel Torme. Like... Family Ties, that was another one that wasn't my jam. But Michael J. Fox, but it was... too wholesome for me, I guess.
Family Ties wasn't necessarily funny. I watched it because of Michael J. Fox, but it was, and same with Growing Pains. Like, I don't know why, you know, I watched those because they weren't.
I don't watch my TV for feelings. I get enough of those in real life.
Right.
Golden Girls started in the 80s.
There we go. There we go.
Woo!
Oh, man. Dude, so that was my jam. I don't know why, but being an eight-year-old till now, if Golden Girls is on and there's nothing really else on, I will stop and I will watch some of it. I love that show. And then, I mean, the other month we were watching it, and like I just stopped on an episode because my wife had never seen it, and it just we just rolled because like it was episode after episode, and she was like, "This is funny." I was like, "I know," and it's crazy how relevant it still is.
Mm-hmm. It's really amazing
for the 80s.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we should start moving on to the 90s now because we're getting to some other lists. We've gone through a lot of ones just to keep ourselves moving forward.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, like we hit the big ones of the 80s, right?
Yeah, we're not going to say we're going to hit every TV show. So anything we missed, if there's a TV show you loved, a sitcom in the 80s you loved, hit us up at Geekish on social media. Chime it on there because we can give it its
Can you help me out with this one real quick? Because before we get into the 90s, and you might say it, but what was the sitcom, and it was in the 90s, where it had a moose?
Northern Exposure.
Thank you. God, dude,
Dr. Fleischman.
Yeah. For some reason, my brain just stopped, and I knew it was something to do with Northern. I just could not think of the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
Northern Exposure, watched that constantly. I don't know why.
Yeah, my mom loved that show, so I watched it all the time, and I got into it for some reason. And
yeah, my parents loved it, too, and for some reason, I watched it, and I was like, this is just... I mean, it's dry humor, if I remember.
Yeah. So we'll start with some of the best sitcoms according to what Screen Rant has to say. Full House, mm-hmm. which continued into the 90s.
Yep.
The Nanny. Ugh. I'm not a Fran Drescher fan. Like at least not her voice. I just can't do it.
When she's not like over the top, she's tolerable. But okay, continue.
Will and Grace started up in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Went into the 2000s. It was a decently entertaining show. I didn't fall in love with it, but it had its moments.
Yeah.
Home Improvement aired in 91 to 99.
Home Improvement, we watched religiously. I don't know why, but like every, I don't remember, like I want to say it was Tuesday. Could be, I don't know.
Was it because of JTT?
For me, no. I mean, at first it was like because of Pamela Anderson, because, you know, I grew up watching Baywatch, so she was one of the
Tool Time Girl, wasn't she? I forgot about that.
Yeah, and then it moved on to Heidi, the other Heidi or whatever, yeah. the brunette one. And I was like, I had a crush on her for some reason. I was like, hey.
For some reason.
Yeah. And it was funny is my dad would point out, this is something my dad would point out, is because like I brought up, I was like, we never see Wilson's face. He's like, yeah, you do. He's in a ton of Westerns. And we watched a Western. He's like, see, there's Wilson. And his face is like, I don't like it.
Another big one was Martin, 92 to 97.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, I didn't like Martin that much. Although I didn't like In Living Color. I didn't like a lot of the Fox sitcoms in the 90s.
In Living Color was hilarious for, you know, being a sketch type of thing that it was. Hanging with Mr. Cooper, like that. And then what, the Sinbad?
Mm-hmm.
I loved watching Sinbad. I don't know why, but that show cracked me up.
See, I didn't like Sinbad that much until I saw Unnecessary Roughness, and I loved Sinbad in that movie.
That's actually, yeah.
Okay. one of my favorites in the 90s, Third Rock from the Sun, aired from 96 to 2001. John Lithgow is probably, I realize he's one of those actors that's up in those lists of getting close to the Patrick Stewarts and the Ian McKellens, where I'm like, he could just read out of a book, and I'd sit there and stare at him for a while, like.
Well, I mean, he was in Pitch Perfect 3 doing a very crappy Australian accent, and I still enjoyed it. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just love that show. News Radio, never really watched that one.
That was a good one. Then that, what, Frasier? Did Frasier spin off of that one?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, my parents loved Frasier. I did not.
Yeah, Frasier's coming back, too. I just know. We talked about Fresh Prince, but apparently Fresh Prince didn't start till the 90s. So whatever that last let Rithlows had that off. So this one says it went from 90 to 96. There's Frasier. Frasier started in 93.
Yeah.
That 70s show started in 98. Absolutely adored that show.
Until like the last season.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is garbage.
Which is funny though, because with that 70s show, Eric, the main character, probably my least favorite one of the whole thing.
And then he left and the show for some reason was just... I don't know. They tried.
That show should have been called The Red Show. Like,
right?
Red and Fez go to town or something like that. Boy Meets World. Another one. I missed the boat on that one.
Another one where I had a huge crush on Topanga.
Who's Topanga?
Oh, bud. Buddy.
Sports Night. Never watched that one. Seinfeld. Huge acclaim over Seinfeld. I never got into it. I enjoy them when I see them once in a while. We actually celebrated Festivus at our house this year. But
that's, yeah,
I didn't understand the cultural phenomenon that was Seinfeld.
I've seen a lot of like the, you know, the pivotal episodes that you need to see to understand stuff for some reason. Cause they were, you know, I mean, dude, that show was rerun constantly. Like I think,
well, I watched it because it was always after the Simpsons on Fox. They had like an hour of the Simpsons and an hour of Seinfeld, like twice a day through most of my childhood.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say is like, and then at one point they started doing like Seinfeld right before the Simpsons, like not new Simpsons, but reruns every weekday. Like Seinfeld's on at 6:00, Simpsons was on at 6:30. So I would always watch Seinfeld just to be ready for the Simpsons.
Yep, that's my exact same thing too.
That's why I saw a lot of it. But that's another one I was like, eh.
And that's where the next one comes to list for me as well. Friends. I'm going to make a lot of enemies for that. I don't care that much for Friends. It's not a bad show. I don't care about it, and I didn't get into it. I'm like, oh, cool, a bunch of rich uppity dudes hanging out in a coffee shop, and okay. Uh-oh, they're in love with each other again?
Could you be any more cynical? Come on. I don't know. Friends to me is, I'll watch it. I enjoy it. I own all the seasons. It's fun to watch, but there's a lot of problems I have with some of the characters. But anyway.
Yeah, like I said, it's not a horrible show. People can love it all they want. I just missed the boat, and it's another one that I don't grasp how Friends became this iconic phenomenon yeah. that's to this day still super popular. I don't know. Now, oh, that doesn't count as a sitcom, though. American Gladiators, that's a whole other story.
Dude, that's a great show, but not a sitcom. Had funny moments, but...
Boston Common.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't like that show.
Yeah, Caroline in the City. Sybil.
Can we throw Sabrina the Teenage Witch on there, and Clarissa Explains It All, and Pete and Pete?
And Hey Dude.
And Salute Your Shorts.
I feel like the 90s because Nickelodeon jumped on the game and they realized, hey, we don't have to show crappy sitcoms from the 60s. We can make some new ones for the kids.
Yeah, dude. They rocked them. Clarissa Explains It All. And I mean, Pete and Pete was a little weird, but it's still entertaining. Clarissa Explains It All was awesome. Sabrina the Teenage Witch wasn't on Nickelodeon, but it was still awesome. And then what did I say? Salute Your Shorts, loved that show. And then Hey Dude, which was like a weird drama sitcom for kids.
David Spade back in Just Shoot Me started in 97. That was a fairly decent one.
Yeah.
I feel like I shouldn't have liked that show, but it was all right.
What was the weird one with the puppet? Not he wasn't in it, but it was like only one season. Remember, like, it was the puppet that lived in the basement. It was like a little gray rabbit thing that just sat on the couch and lived in the guy's basement. I'll look that up.
Don't think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I know you do.
Well, not by the description.
Yeah.
We glossed over Blossom and Mad About You.
Whoa. Mad About You is actually a decent show.
Grace Under Fire, Moesha, the original Dinosaurs sitcom.
Dude,
rubber suited dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs is the best.
It's on Disney Plus now, so you can get yourself caught up on that.
Dinosaurs is?
Uh-huh.
Nice. The show I was thinking of is Unhappily Ever After. No?
Nah.
It was only... Okay.
Oh, I forgot about that show. What was that called?
What?
I just saw a screenshot of... because Fox, there was a Drexel's Class, and then that right before Drexel's Class was... The show that I'm looking at this picture of, but it has no name of it. Oh, this is killing me. We mentioned...
It's
not ringing a bell.
Oh, man. It was a stupid show. Anyway.
There's one that has the Adventures of Pete and Pete on it for you. Parker Lewis Can't Lose. That's what I'm thinking of.
I don't think I watched that one.
It was came on after the primetime Simpsons episodes on Sunday nights, and it was almost like a new Saved by the Bell type of thing. Like, not related to Saved by the Bell, but that kind of vibe to it. And I really liked it, but it didn't really go anywhere.
I mean, to be fair, a lot of 90s sitcoms didn't really go anywhere, because I guarantee you, just like Unhappily Ever After, which I think was only one season, there is a ton of sitcoms that started in the 90s that you and I probably enjoyed and then we forgot about because they weren't picked up for another season.
Yeah, a lot of those. And we'll keep the ball moving. We'll move on to the 2000s as well.
Oh my God, we made it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we haven't touched everything. So what we missed, let us know. But 2000s, we'll just start with some random ones here. How about Malcolm in the Middle?
Okay.
I mean, it's tough to find somebody that hates Malcolm in the Middle. You can not love it, but it's...
Yeah.
70 Show Can Need Scrubs, which we've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast before. iCarly, Zoe 101 for the kids. How I Met Your Mother.
That's a show that I really enjoyed in the beginning, and then it lost a lot for me, and I don't understand why people are still obsessed with it.
I feel like when they actually revealed the mother, it was the biggest letdown of 9 seasons of TV ever.
Yeah. The last season to 2 seasons was just, they stretched it out, I guess.
But they did have some very lovable characters that were very fun to watch. Like,
yes,
this the growing script of the, you know, sequential things that happens, meh. But the character-driven interactions and hijinks they got into, very entertaining. Mm-hmm. let's see here. What else we got? The IT Crowd and The Office.
Dude, okay, so is that the UK version or the American version?
Of The Office?
Oh, IT Crowd. The IT Crowd.
I think it's the English version. It's what we've been watching.
So the UK version of IT Crowd, top notch. Love that show to death. Even the last season, which was kind of weird, I still love it to death. The American version with Joe McHale, hate it.
It's nothing
against Joe McHale, because I like Joe McHale as a actor, but that show was just trash. They took it, especially the first episode, basically shot for shot and didn't try to make it their own. And they even had Moss be Moss in this, and it didn't work. So that show floundered. The UK Office, while great, it just doesn't have it for me like The Office did. And I will admit, the first time I watched The American Office, somebody, like, I was thinking I was already out 3 seasons, and the fourth was just getting ready to start, and my friend handed me the DVD of season 1 and said, watch this. I was not into it. I was like, dude, this show is garbage.
Yep, I was not impressed the first few times I saw The Office, and now I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, and then he gave me season 2. I was like, okay, this is better. But the first season is rough.
Arrested Development, the original series, was a great remake. Mm-hmm. Kind of let down. Yep. World According to Jim, didn't care for. 2 and a Half Men was entertaining, but it's another one that I watched it because it was on. I never got into it at all.
The World According to Jim, is that the one with...
Jim Belushi.
Yeah, and then you have Kings of Queens.
King of Queens. Mm-hmm.
Which I've watched it, but Everybody Loves Raymond is like...
I could not get into Everybody Loves Raymond.
Raymond!
Now, My Name is Earl is one that I feel like I like. I didn't watch it enough. I think that show I really enjoyed, but I never wanted to watch it because I don't think I wanted to like it.
Yeah, I think that's the same thing. Is like you just look at the character. I mean, I remember the ads for it. I never watched it until it was, I think, already on its last season because I binged it like with Netflix when they were actually sending out DVDs. And I watched it there and I'm like, this is actually a really good show.
Mm-hmm. Modern Family started, and I enjoy Modern Family, but I didn't jump on the bandwagon either. It's like, oh, it's entertaining, but that's all it is.
I watched it pretty, you know, regularly, and then like the last two seasons, it just lost me.
I thoroughly enjoyed the Tick series that came out.
Oh, with Patrick Warburton?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then they canceled it after one season.
Yep, and then even the new Tick is pretty decent too. Once I get over the fact that it's not Patrick Warburton, but it takes a little to get through that. Community, I finally just watched like a few months ago, and that was surprisingly good. Again, minus the last season or two when it just went off the rails.
I was going to say, except for when Donald Glover went away to do his own thing, and it was.
Brothers with Michael Strahan, Curb Your Enthusiasm, ooh, Parks and Rec. There's another good one.
That's another one where I first watched it, the first season, I was like, this is just ripping off The Office. I hate it. And then I gave it another try, and I was like, okay, this is pretty good.
I hated it until I started working closely with a Parks and Recreation department, and once I realized it wasn't that far off from the truth, I'm like, this is hilarious.
God, I hated Chris Pratt in that movie, or in that show.
Really?
Yeah, well, like right in the beginning, again, like it was the first season where he's that doofy freeloading boyfriend, and I was just like, this guy's a jerk, and I'm pretty sure that's like the first thing I saw him in. Mm-hmm. So when he got cast in Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, what?
Yeah, very confusing. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Fantastic, dude.
See, I know so many people that love that show, and it's
a show where you watch it and you realize they're all garbage.
I don't know if that makes me feel better or worse.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fun.
Let's see, we had Rules of Engagement, got Trailer Park Boys.
I mean, how far in the 2000s are you going?
I'm just randomly searching through names now because we've got through most of the ones that I think.
Because, I mean, even New Girl was fantastic for a little bit. Happy Endings was a great sitcom that only lasted, I think, 3 seasons. It got cut way too damn short, and it could have been, in my opinion, actually it kind of was better than Friends. That was a fantastic. I feel like a lot of Fox shows, they tried for a season and they're like, meh. But then after, everybody's like, what are you doing?
Well, that was Fox's mantra. Do we have to relive the whole Firefly saga again? No, like, don't. Fox had the mantra of, this isn't the number one show in the universe, we should cancel it.
Well, they even aired Firefly out of order, with the pilot being the last episode, so.
so painful. Because they had a lot of shows that if they just would have let them run. That's where I think... Whoever was behind the content creation at Netflix probably just looked back at Fox in the 90s and 2000s and said, see what they did? We're going to do the exact opposite.
Right?
Let's take a show that has a fan base and give them something they can watch for a few years.
God, there was something else on Fox that I really enjoyed. And I think ABC started to do the same thing because there was a lot of sitcoms on ABC that I really enjoyed that only lasted like... Oh, what was it? There was the one where the guy had like an aneurysm in his head. And.
Oh, yeah. What was that called? I forgot about that. Yeah.
It was Eli something.
That's going to burn my head later.
Here, I'll figure that out.
Well, we also didn't mention things like The Big Bang Theory.
That's because I'm not a fan of that one. I tried. I've laughed at Eli Stone. I think that's it.
Yeah, I hated Big Bang at first too, and once I got into it and was watching it with a slightly more open mind, there were some very lovable characters in it.
Yeah, well, we powered through, I think, a season and a half, and I enjoyed some of it. I didn't sit there and like cackle like everybody says how funny of a show it is, but I don't know. But I mean, you have.
Well, we're also surrounded by a lot of the stuff they're over exaggerating and making fun of too, so it's not quite as fun. Oh, look, he's in a superhero costume. True. Okay, I see that every time I go to a convention. I'm kind of sad that I haven't seen it in a while.
Eli Stone was the name of the show. So I knew it was Eli something. But that was a fantastic show and it only went two seasons. There was the.
I want to count my Futurama in there as one of the sitcoms of the 2000s.
Which one? The one that got canceled, or the one when they brought it back?
Yes, it's all the. It's Futurama. I could put Futurama on any time, any day, and just go with it.
Right. It's very entertaining too. And then there was the other show that was on not too long ago that canceled, and it really made me quite sad that it was canceled. And I'm trying to find the name, and I'm not stalling at all. but it had Alan Tudyk in it, Powerless, where he was Bruce Wayne's.
Oh,
cousin.
Yeah, Powerless. That was a great show.
Fantastic. One season, 12 episodes. That's it. Then they canceled it.
Yeah, that show was so good.
I loved the subtle nuances to nerd culture and comic books in that and everything like that. And it just made me so happy. And then they canceled it.
Mm-hmm. And I found another list as a whole bunch. There's plenty more shows we could hit on here, but it's probably a pretty good smattering of TV that's come out in the last, 40 years?
So I Googled Alan Tudyk, and one of the things that popped up is Jeff Foxworthy. Remember the Jeff Foxworthy show?
He had his own show. Oh, my God.
Because of his own show is when he went on to host Are You Smarter Than an Eighth Grader?
Fifth Grader?
Or Fifth Grader. Yeah, whatever.
I feel like I want to be around when somebody has to explain to their kids someday, well, there was this guy named Jeff Foxworthy, and he became a cultural icon.
Well, remember, he wasn't the only one. Bill Ingvall. Yeah, Bill Ingvall had his cable own guy. Show, too. Yep, and Larry the Cable Guy had his own show. And then, we had Reba? That was a good... Reba was entertaining. Right? Or am I just remembering it wrong? I think it was entertaining. Parts.
I just want to go on record that... You are dissing the Big Bang Theory to say Reba is a good show.
No, I didn't. Just say throwing it was that a good out show.
There. Yeah, you
I didn't
those
say
your
it was
exact,
a good
those,
show.
Those are your exact words. You rewind it.
It was entertaining.
You're gonna rewind that. And you're gonna find out what you said.
You cannot not love Reba, right? Good old Reba McEntire. I mean, if it wasn't for her, those graboids wouldn't have would have conquered the world. Yeah, she was in Tremors. Throwback. Anyway. Dude, there is so many, because I'm just going through my head right now, like so many different sitcoms that I can think of, I can see them, but I can't remember the name, that were just recently I watched. I was like, this is good. And then it got canceled. And then now we have Netflix and Hulu and Amazon all putting out sitcoms, like The Marvelous Miss Maisel is on Amazon. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. The thing that drives me nuts is for a while we were able to watch all of these shows like to our heart's content, but now we're gonna have to pick and choose all these stinking streaming services. Netflix has their own, and all the ones from other networks are getting pirated back after their contracts expire. Amazon's got their own, same deal there. Peacock's putting theirs out. CBS is putting theirs out.
Paramount Plus now.
Yeah, Paramount Plus, that's part of the CBS one, so at least they're combining somewhat. But I was doing the math on some of these subscriptions, and I'm going to be up to, if I wanted to watch any of these old sitcoms, if I wanted to pick five of them to watch a month, I'm back up to paying $50-$60 a month in subscription fees for all these stinking services.
Well, and what's funny too is, you know, right now we have like cable that's bundled with our internet, like it has to be for where we live. Like it's part of the rent that we have to pay. So, you know, we're watching actual cable every once in a while.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's kind of fun because I got the Food Network, everything. But the problem is like the Food Network or Discovery Channel, whatever, they're now pushing Discovery Plus. So if you want to watch new episodes of Naked and Afraid, you now have to get Discovery Plus. And I think that's going to be the same thing with like Paramount Plus, is you want to watch the new SpongeBob or, you know, the SpongeBob movie. Hey, get Paramount Plus. You want to watch this new season, Paramount Plus. And like, it's like they're moving away from TV to the streaming service, which, yay, but also nay.
Yeah. As long as they have it all there, I'm okay with it, because I know exactly what's going for a lot of these things is it's going to create the, okay, this month I've got Paramount, so I'm going to binge watch this show, and then I'm going to cancel it. Next month, I'm going to sign up for Peacock. I'm going to binge watch this and this and this, then I'm going to cancel it. But
yeah. Supposedly, this is what I've heard, is over in Europe, Scrubs got put on Disney Plus. So hopefully soon, when the contract's up on Hulu, it'll get... Well, I mean, I guess Hulu is part of Disney Plus now, in a sense.
Well, Scrubs is on Amazon right now.
Scrubs is on Hulu, for me.
Well, it's on Amazon Prime, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
there you go.
Scrubs is one of the... wrap-up sitcoms. Scrubs is one of those shows that I rewatch start to finish about once every 5 years.
Yeah, once every year for me. I'll do that one, and then I'll dabble with The Office.
How much TV are you watching?
Well, I'll put it on in the background, dude. Like, if I'm showering, whatever, I'll throw the phone up and watch an episode of Scrubs while I'm getting ready or something. Because I've seen it enough. I know it.
You need to see JD when you're showering, huh? I got you.
Apparently.
On that note, thanks for taking the stroll down with us through sitcom lane. Like I said, what we missed, let us know at Get Geekish on social media, because there's probably some other gems out there that we completely spaced out or completely forgot about, or maybe we never even saw.
I was going to say, if this is like your first time listening to our podcast, we space a lot of things, even though we may love it. That's how our brains work. So if you say it, be like, oh my God, yes. And we'll geek out with you about it, because we probably know exactly what you're talking about.
It's a sense of wonder for me, because I remember a lot of really random things, but then when something else comes around, it's like an entire new world. Like, I've seen that show 100 times. I love that show. I haven't thought about that in 10 years.
Oh, man.
Anyway, thanks so much for joining us. This is at Get Geekish. Hit us up at social media, and we will talk at you next week.
I'm no Superman.
Nice.